Produced by GauntletCreative.com.
This episode of Neckbreaker is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment. Here.
Thank you for downloading this week's episode of Neckbreaker, the original pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. We had a killer episode this week. Later in the show, our news panel will be covering the latest pro wrestling headlines, including WWE Fastlane discussion. We're going to be talking about the Hardys leaving Impact and much more. But first, the final edition of the interviews I tracked aboard the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. Here's my chat with Josh L. Moore from Cattle Decapitation. Enjoy the segment and stick around for the Wrestling Headlines panel.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time, and I know how did things go with your set yesterday? Because I understand Travis had to go home for a family emergency.
Yeah, we were all set to go, and it was just the point of like checking into flights for the next day, and the call was made. His brother is deathly ill. So his entire extended family just kind of did their pilgrimage up there.
First.
Yeah, so we obviously respect that immensely. So he's free to attend to those sort of concerns, and we're gonna soldier on and do this without. I mean, that's been the first time since I've been in the band, which has been it'll be 17 years this year without him singing or being in that So
your tag team partner.
Yeah, exactly. He's been there forever,
Yeah.
Stepping on each other. So we kind of like, we got to make the best of the situation. And we kind of asked him, we don't want to sort of disrespect your spot by like just bringing in whomever. He's like, just bring, do what you guys got. Trust your judgment. You're not going to, do anything silly.
Yeah.
Which is, thanks.
You got to get the singer from Angra.
exactly. So, one of us would have really liked that. But
that would be power metal. So.
A couple of us maybe. But we talked to our friend Riley from Elegion, and he's like, I can do the entire new record. I know that entire record. So like, sick. That's like 2/3 of the set.
Good to go.
So yeah, we got him, and then Dave Davidson from Revocation did Force Gen Reassignment. He seemed particularly enthused to do that one. So there we go. And then we had some audience members, two different other guys, finish out the rest of the set. And they, seemed thrilled to do it. And we were glad that they helped us out. And everyone did a good job. It wasn't a matter of, like, someone coming up there and getting, like, two lines and then being frozen. Like, oh, crap, I don't know this as well as I thought I did. They both did a good job, So we lucked out. Like, tomorrow when we play, Riley's coming back again. Dave will be there. And then our friend Nick Marrero is going to do a song. We have a couple other people stepping up too. So,
From a marketing standpoint, it's weird. Like, I feel like you could market that as part of a tour, like that's some sort of giveaway, or I don't know, like fans who.
What's your favorite song? And then we go, we don't play that one anymore.
Yeah.
We haven't played that in 10 years.
Yeah, the one from the demo EP tape you put out in 1995.
That's a deep cut even for us,
Yeah, it's a deep cut. Sorry,
the last time that was played is when it was recorded.
Yeah. Right. So I got to do the plug. I got to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. February and March, you guys are on the road. Metal
Absolutely.
Blade Records starting. I think I don't have the dates for it.
It's the 22nd in Boston, which is super convenient for us. But so we're doing on the way out. We're playing a couple times. Once in Wichita, lovely Wichita, Kansas, at Barleycorns.
Of course. Wait, why is Boston convenient for you guys?
Oh, completely inconvenient.
Oh, inconvenient.
But it's where the tour starts. So therefore, So we're doing Wichita first, and then. Pittsburgh at Spirit Club, I think, or the Spirit something. Spirit Assembly, which is actually from Pennsylvania.
Somebody can Google it.
That's some weird emo reference from like forever ago.
Somebody
anyway, and then it starts actually in Boston on the 22nd at the Brighton.
Brighton Music Hall.
Yes. And then
20 minutes from my house.
There you go. And then from there on, it's just, boom, boom, boom. We end, that tour actually ends, I think, on the 16th of March in New Orleans. And then we play on our way back just to, get back home. I think we play in El Paso and Albuquerque, Mesa, Arizona on the 19th. And then
a couple of one-offs just to get home.
And then we are done until we have stuff later in the year, but I think we're going to try to, this is foggy on the horizon. So if this doesn't happen, don't hold me to it, but
no.
Try to do a U.S. tour, the big U.S. Canada tour where we just knock out everything out for like 5 weeks, get it all done in the fall.
It's on Metal Sex tomorrow. That's it. It's already official.
Oh, no. That information isn't, that, I don't know. It's,
life goes on.
Yeah, it's just a tour.
So you guys are on, so it's with Whitechapel and Goat Horror.
Goat Horror and Elysian, yeah.
How do you guys, I don't know, how did you get involved with the tour package? Was it like an offer from the record label?
Well, yeah, kind of like our booking agent and the labels, you know, it's their 30th anniversary, so they're kind of trying to put together some stuff, I think, throughout the year. Not that I know this specifically or anything.
No.
But I'm assuming, so throughout the year, they'll put together a few of these sort of things to celebrate that, you know, anniversary. So we're on the first one with, Whitechapel, Goat Horror, and Legion, and now apparently Necromancing the Stone, which is just a recent addition.
Oh, shit, they got to add to that.
Yeah, that's I mean, I'd heard the name, and, you know, I'd know half the parties involved, but I just didn't realize that. It's like, oh, that's Jim. Oh, that's happening. Yeah, you know, so that's kind of cool.
You guys played, going through your tour history, like, all last year, you know, big, all the festival circuits, mm-hmm. all the big festivals.
Yeah, we were over Europe 3 times last year.
Can you talk about the comparisons between, I don't know, playing like something the size of Brighton Music Hall, mm-hmm. and then playing something with like 60,000 people? Like, do you have to play differently depending on the size of the venue?
I mean, you always hear this, like I think from, was it the Iron Maiden movie, the Flight 666, Bruce Dickinson says,
yeah,
play with gestures and mannerisms that are befitting of, like, you know, you're trying to communicate this to someone in the front. It looks like you're, you know, having some ridiculous, like, you know, seizure or something.
Why aren't you looking at me?
But the person in the back is like, can see these gestures, and it kind of just resonates throughout the entire thing. I'd like to say that, like, you know, yeah, it's a conscious thought, but I think we just kind of do what we normally do. Obviously, there's in the larger venues and some of the festivals, you know, you gotta, I don't know, I don't want to say ham it up a bit, but have the kind of, well, I remember seeing so-and-so do this on, you know, my VHS videos, yeah. back when I was such and such an age, and he looked like such a badass. Of course, cool. I'm going to look like a complete fool doing this, but, you know.
We're trying it anyway.
Exactly. I don't have long hair to, you know, whip around and look cool, so I just look like some, like, bobblehead baby going, ding, ding, yeah. ding, you know, up there, tripping over my cables and, you know, all that. But it's, I mean, I grew up playing, you know, my first show was in a horse barn. Growing up, and then, you know, then it was basements, kitchens. Well, where I grew up, you can have basements. California is not really a basement place.
Not really. Backyards and that.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah. Basements, backyards, people's back decks and everything. And then, you know, small coffee houses and all that. And I'm sure, you know, the other guys too, like Cattle played. I remember before I was in the band, like they played once in their friend's apartment, you know, and all this stuff where it's that. And then fortunately enough, we've been given the opportunity and such to play like Hellfest last year. Which was crazy. We were on, like, you know, one of the side, the shed or shack, whatever you want to call it, the altar stage, but that was like more people than we'd ever played in front of, and it was nuts.
Who cares? Like, print out that flyer, like, you know, throw yeah. it, you know, frame it on your wall.
Oh, of course.
Like, look at the headline. It's just,
yeah, exactly. I have on my phone, I have this whole, my brother appreciated this a lot, but I got like the first like 2 minutes of We're Not Going to Take It. Like, from this, like, VIP balcony or whatever where our friend led us up into.
Yeah.
And it's just watching Twisted Sister do their thing and then just scanning from the stage to the expanse of the crowd. And I was showing it to him, and he's just like, well, that's a lot of people. Oh, my gosh, you just keep going, and it's just a sea of people. It's like, I was like, well, that's not the stage we played on, but here's a picture. Doesn't that look really cool? And, you know, it's funny. Your friends at work are just like, some of them are like, oh, that's cool. But you still work here, so it's not that cool. Yeah. Idiot.
Thanks for the support.
Thanks. And then other people are like, we play at like a show, and there's like, you know, it's like a regular local show, and there's like, wow, there was like, I'd be like 150, 200 people there. I'm like, yeah, it could have been a little better.
You know, it could have been healthy.
It could have been better, or whatever. And then they're just like, oh, that's amazing. So it's strange, like the levels of, not that you're trying to impress these other people. You just want to be like, all I want is to go, you know what? Good for you. Enjoying yourself? Good. That's all I want. That's fine. I don't have to hear yay, nay, whatever, but it's amazing how people interpret, you know, how we see these milestones, you know, that we, you know, can get, and they're just like, oh, that's cool. Did the sandwiches good?
Right.
I'll be like, yeah.
Food was great.
Real good.
You know, like, I just interviewed, you know, Chuck from Testament,
mm-hmm.
like 2 hours ago, and mm-hmm. A band at that level.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him the question, the basement question, mm-hmm. like, you know, you guys all, you play festival, mm-hmm. big tour. Do you ever just want to play somebody's basement? Like, just somebody's backyard, no bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
No advertising, mm-hmm. no PR to deal with, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Just to show up, mm-hmm. Cattle Decapitation, or play in your backyard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, and I'm sure he, I don't know what his, what he said in regards to that, but everything becomes much more complicated, you know, with the whole, like, I'm looking at your feet, blah, 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 all stuff. It's almost like you want to be, like, you know, under the radar, like, backyard show or, like, on someone's deck or something. Just get some kegs, just do it, party. We haven't done that for a while, but I, you know, I mean, it's people living, you know, multiple places. It's kind of hard to organize that. It can't be much of a spur-of-the-moment thing.
You can't just do it on a Saturday
but,
or something.
I mean, that would be nice occasionally here and there, maybe once a year, do something silly like that. There was a venue in San Diego called the Backyard, or the Yard, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it was literally someone's backyard. They'd built a stage, like a canopy, and the PA was not stellar. But it was serviceable. It worked, and it was pretty much a place for, like, kind of crusty grind kids to go drink underage and, you know, do really stupid things and pass out at like 3 p.m. in the sun, you know, and all this. And that was, I think, the last experience we had of that. That was a couple years, maybe 2-3 years ago. But it was, you know, people go there. There's no, when I say no security, I mean, it's very self-policing, you know, it's not out of control.
Nah.
I mean, it is, but no one's dead yet. Or no one's died yet, as far as I know. Maybe a few ODs and, you know, some, you know, friskiness, but, yeah, they would just, people would just go nuts. I'd seen multiple shows there where it's just like crazy. And finally, the city, of course, all things good must come to an end. And I think the city shut it down because the guy who actually lived there was just some like older tweaker guy. And, you know, it's not too hard to bribe, shall we say. Yeah. So I knew you have to get it for your job, which I don't know is like what, straightening toothpicks, you know, but, you know, we respect your, the shows had to be over early, like 10 because of, you know, even though it was kind of in this weird, like, it was the only house on the block, everything else is like kind of industrial around it.
Play it safe though.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want police attention. So yeah, that was our last sort of remaining, you know, ability to do that. Maybe in the future.
You know, from like a marketing standpoint, you know, I know how it is. Like your management, your team, your booker is like, no, we got to get you on these tour packages. We got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But from a marketing standpoint, if you just showed up at somebody's basement, like say some local bands are playing, and then you guys just showed up and said, can we backline? Let me use your backline. Mm-hmm. We're doing a set. Mm-hmm. From a PR standpoint, every one of those kids in that basement is going to be like, I remember the night Cattle Decapitation just showed up at our house. And
that'd
played.
Be fun. Yeah. I remember like growing up, there was a, I mean, this is kind of on a smaller scale than that, but they were on a major label. So I guess it kind of, you know.
Same ballpark.
There's this band, I'm from Central Illinois originally, and at that time, the early 90s, that was one of the, you know, ooh, is this going to be, Champagne Urbana could be the next Seattle? You know, any town with like a few notable bands will be the next Seattle. So at that point in time, it was all shit hot, you know, their bands getting signed. You know, for a town, especially at that point, the Twin Cities were maybe just at 100,000, so now they're like 150. Metro's 250. Ooh, my gosh, it's exploded, which it has. But, so at the time, one of the major label bands there was this band Poster Children, which was like a kind of indie, like, but very loud and abrasive kind of, they were really good. I still like them a lot and they're awesome. They still play, you know, and everything. But, their thing was to like, after, you know, doing all the major label tours, you know, the locals are kind of like, well, good for them, but they're on, you know, they got to do the big, it's like, we're going to come back and play Trino's Coffee and show people we are for real. And they did that. And it was so awesome.
I mean, forget that.
Yeah, exactly. Here it is. You know, this is, like 93, 92. And I'm still like, yeah, Poster Children, Trinos. That was killer.
So good.
Yeah, it's just different scale, obviously, because they were doing like pretty huge things at that point. But it's fun to, you know, it impressed upon me at that time. You know,
even if it was 20 kids or 50 kids, like those 50 kids.
Yeah, it was a very packed, like 150, 200 people in that thing. You know, hanging from the rafters. So that was very impressed upon me a lot. So I'd like to try to, you know, have that experience for myself or someone else.
Your latest was Anthropocene Extinction, right? Really catchy. I'm not just saying it because I got you on an interview or whatever, because I didn't hear the album until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And after, you know, 21 years maybe of Cattle Decapitation
at
this point?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Like, has it been challenging to try to outdo the previous release?
That's kind of what we aim to do. I think 2000, well, not that they didn't before, but I think 2004, like, we made a concerted effort, like, you know, obviously, just even if something is well received, don't rest on it, you know, take what we felt was positive from that, just try to accentuate it and enhance it more to really drive whatever aspect that was home. Like, I mean, there's times in the past, like I say, maybe 2004 through 2008 or what, I don't know, where like you can kind of hear what's going on today sort of fermenting. Like there's ideas that are maybe not necessarily quite all the way there that are put in the music or, you know, oh, editing. How about that? Let's not make a song 5 minutes long for no reason. Anyway, but we kind of made things a little more concise and just like, let's just all the fat cut. Just keep with the sick riffs, you know, or whatever. And I think over time we've kind of evolved to be a lot more selective and I don't say hard on ourselves because we've always been hard on ourselves, but just, you know, we're here to play for the song now. And I don't care whatever, I don't say what trend, but just sort of like what the stupid window warrior kids are gonna, you know, and it's not to disparage any of those, like whatever phases and stuff that's been, you know, levels of popularity these things have had, but you just stop caring at a certain point, and that's when things start to come together.
That's where it's like that when you're comfortable. Remember the movie Office Space?
Yeah.
Where you got comfortable
Absolutely.
At work and mm-hmm. moved up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when you get to that comfort level where you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to write whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. We kind of started to, like, Harvest Floor, that was in 2009. That was our first, like, we kind of were like that. We wanted to do things a little more, like, just, I don't say avant-garde necessarily, but, like, skronkier and kind of more, like, dissonant and stuff like that. And then with Monolith in 2012, we, like, we want to keep elements of that, but we want to really focus things. Like, some of the songs, like, the past couple records had gotten a little long for Blast and Screech, basically. So, we're like, okay, let's make these, you know, not 3.5 minute radio bangers or anything, but just like make it a little more concise, you know, like be a little more like picky, like, well, does that part really need to be there? I mean, it's a cool riff and all, but does it support this? Just edit a little more. And I think we've finally got, you know, the past two or three records gotten to where we feel comfortable with, you know, where we're at with that. So the next stuff, that's, I have no idea what the heck we're going to do because we just barely talked about starting to do stuff.
Take your time.
Yeah.
There's no rush. You know, it'll come to you.
Yeah. I hope.
I only got a few questions left. And
oh,
I,
no.
I'd rather get us on here. Got to respect the time slot. It's weird. Our show's half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. Growing up as a kid, you ever watch pro wrestling?
My brother and I did have a bit of time when we had, on Sunday afternoons, the classic era, you know.
Define classic era.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, the total...
you guys can come in if you need to.
Andre Hogan, Junkyard Dog. You know, the class, when it was on Saturday morning cartoon version, you get... Like, I remember we, in grade school, you get the book club stuff you can order.
Yes.
There was this little, I don't know, it wasn't even journal size. It was almost like a 7-inch, like, you know, single, like, that size of a book. And it was like, you know, the type was like this huge type with the picture of each wrestler. And this story, which maybe somehow, you know, unfolded over maybe 14 or 15 pages.
Holy shit.
Was just this, you know, wrestling thing with these color stock photos of the wrestlers doing their thing.
Yeah, whatever.
At the end, there was like maybe like 12 stickers, little peel-off stickers that you could have of each one of the same photo that was in the book with the centerpiece, like of the bingo card being like, you know, WWF or whatever. But I don't know. My brother and I just remember liking Hacksaw Jim Duggan more than anything because he's such an absurd character.
That's what Chuck said.
Yeah, we're just like, that guy is just like, everyone's neighbor.
Who doesn't like
that? Exactly. It's like, I know that guy.
Like, I was cutting the grass across.
He sold me garden hose last week. I think he helped me at Furrow last week. Yeah, his character embodies everything. I mean, he's got his 2x4 and his American flag, and it's just like, that's half my family, you know?
I want to drink beers with that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? He's a very relatable fellow, you know? You know, he didn't have, you know, any sort of weird fringy boots or anything on. He was just like, man, that guy looks like he woke up 10 minutes ago. I love him.
What do I got to wear? All right.
Yeah, it's like, give me it makes it look okay. Great.
Give me my 2x4.
Yeah, give me my 2x4. That'll distract him.
You know, it's
a little cold in Parsnipany tonight.
You know, it sounds weird to have this concept, half metal, half wrestling, but both worlds to me are very similar. Both wrestlers and dudes and bands are on the road. So many dates mm-hmm. a year, different city every night.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to entertain a crowd. You're mm-hmm. trying to get over. At the
mm-hmm.
end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you're like almost the same, just a completely different outlet.
Yeah. Well, they abuse their bodies in one way, we abuse our bodies in another.
True.
And sometimes those two things meet, we abuse our bodies in the same ways.
Yeah.
Got to meter that, or else you might be looking at, well, I'm done, and I'm 36 or something. But at least, you know, we don't necessarily have ourselves completely crippled or, you know, have so many concussions that we're just like, you know, eating pudding the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I mean,
although I would like to eat pudding the rest of my life.
That sounds pretty good.
Not have compromised mental faculties, but whatever.
You know, you think of all these 80s bands, all these 80s glam bands are just railing coke every goddamn moment of the every hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same rustlers, too. Same thing.
Oh, yeah, that 80s, era. Absolutely.
Coke every,
absolutely.
Takes some bumps in the ring, bumps out back, yeah. And then...
In the tunnel?
Yeah.
Give me a second here. Yeah.
Give me some steroids, and then you're good to go. There's your night.
Yeah.
So, just two questions left.
Oh, yeah.
And then the history of cattle decapitation. Mm-hmm. You played tons of shows. Mm-hmm. Did you, any two stand out as one of your best and one of your worst?
You know what? I think, and this is only, I'm sure there's a million that I'm forgetting.
Take your time.
Fortunately, because, you know, I mean, I'm glad we have that opportunity. But for me personally, Brutal Assault in Czech. We this past year we did it. I mean, yeah, we did tons of the fests that were actually really good. Like all the fests we did, with maybe the exception of one of them, and it wasn't because it was terrible or anything. It was just sort of like not really our. We were like the one sore thumb band. It was mostly like power, or like true metal kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and we're up there
epic
all
heavy metal or whatever
up there, and they're looking at us like, ugh, savages, you know. But you know, that whole run, we got really lucky, you know, with the Hellfest, Roskilde, which was crazy. That's like. Billy Joel has owns that thing.
Ridiculous.
Granted, we were on the like once again the tent stage, but it was still like, oh well, oh darn, there's only like 8,000 people watching us. Oh, geez,
what a terrible night.
I know. But yeah, Hellfest was great. That was our first show of that tour. That was kind of crazy. But yeah, Brutal Assault, both the first time we played it in 2012, and then this past time was just there was this indefinable like. When everyone's not overthinking anything, everyone's running on all cylinders. We play great. People respond to it really well. And it sounds good on stage. And you just have, you're just walking around, you know, with your beer after that, chatting with people, just having, it's like everything came together. And everyone was in agreement. It's like, that ripped. That was the, I haven't had fun on stage like that in such a long time.
You know, when you're 80 years old, whatever, drinking beer somewhere on your porch or something, mm-hmm. you're looking back, you're like, Brutal Assault. That
yeah.
was fucking cool.
That was cool. Yeah. Worst, there's several worsts.
Yeah.
There
everything
was,
else.
Yeah, yeah. And there's everything else. Just, I remember one show we played, and we were on tour with Soulfly in 2009, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm pretty sure we were in Pittsburgh, and of course Steelers being religion there.
Oh, dude.
There was maybe 35 people at the show, and it was the first time in the band's history we sold absolutely nothing. Like, usually we could do, like, even if it's, like, a rough night, you know, it's like, it's only a couple hundred bucks, whatever.
We push 10 shirts at least.
Yes, exactly. This was literally not even a sticker or a button or the most cheap bargain basement thing we have. No one bought anything. And, of course, the people that were there were like, okay, I want to see Soulfly, but the Steelers are playing. So they were just kind of like, you know, going to the bar,
yeah.
watch TV, look at their watch, and, like, just leave mid-song and just go over, which, I mean,
cattle,
I get
who's
it,
playing?
Who's exactly.
Steelers are on.
Yeah. Same thing on that tour. We played in Salina, Kansas. And it wasn't that we, you know, we played bad or anything. It was just, they just weren't there to see us, which, whatever. Us and the opening band, they don't care. They're here to see Max, Soulfly. Okay. But we're loading up our vehicle out front. And, I mean, this sort of thing isn't uncommon at all. But, you know, we're, you know, sweating, you know, loading up our stuff. Just
kind
had
photo,
our kind
of
a rough,
photo.
Yeah. Well, no, not even that. We're like rough set, you know, no one cared. We look like. You know, they're watching paint dry.
Yeah, yeah.
And this girl turns around. Her and her friends are all hanging out there. She's like, "There." You can hear them talking. Like, is that that cow band? Is that that cow band? And she's like, y'all that cow deadhead band or whatever? And we're like, yeah, cow decapitation. Yeah. And she goes, y'all fucking sucked. That was the best. I was like, I've quoted that and said that to everyone. Like, band, it's a joke. And then, like, people at work, I had to tell, like, don't tell them the good stuff. Just tell them that. And like this chick, she's like, y'all fucking suck. It was the best. Well, I'm glad.
Your best show at that
oh,
point.
Dude, at that point, it's just like, you know, I remember this now. I'm laughing about it. So I think she wins. So thank you, ma'am, of Salina, Kansas. Greater Salina, Kansas area.
You got to respect the honesty because everyone comes up, dude, that was awesome.
Oh,
that was
I know.
Great. That was great.
I know.
You got to respect somebody. Say, you know what?
That's not
that
my thing
not good.
At all. I not could not
it.
Stand that at all. Okay. I mean, sometimes you feed on that, like just antagonizing, you know, when it's, if you've been put into these weird situations where it's like, these people are not having this.
Not at all.
Which is weird. It's like more like you said before, is like, you know, you have people putting things together for you. It's like obviously the chances of that happening are much more slim, but it's still things like that happen occasionally. We've been lucky at festivals though, like at Roskilde that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Us, Gojira and Juder from Norway.
Yep.
Were the only heavy bands in the entire thing. I mean, there was maybe like more of like a post, kind of like an Explosion in the Sky or like Swallow the Sun, almost like kind of a post hardcore metal, kind of more epic Neurosis-y influence kind of thing.
Sure.
But for, you know, kind of stuff, just us three bands. And we were like, oh man, this is awesome. The people treated us great. The festival's mind-blowingly organized, well-organized and everything. But we're like, no one is going to care when we play. Lo and behold, filled the tent. You know, so that's pleasant surprise.
You never know.
Yeah, true.
Cattle Decapitation's on the road, February, March. Yep. Metal Blade Records 35th anniversary with Whitechapel, Goat Horror, and Elysian.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate the time, dude.
Absolutely.
Thanks again. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Cheers.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Yeah, The Shining Wizards, they're the best. I listen to them every Wednesday night. Tuesday night? Oh, I don't give a fuck. I don't listen to them anyway.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Welcome back to Neckbreaker. I am your host, Brian Thompson. On this week's wrestling panel, I'd like to welcome senior pro wrestling correspondent.
And Metal Hunk.
Is that your instant messenger name?
It's my Skype.
It's your Skype account at Metal Hunk.
Yeah.
978 or 5503.
Whatever numbers are still available.
Yeah. Whatever account you can get. Yeah. Sir Chris Casares, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Guest co-host this evening, tagged in real last minute. We had somebody else who was planned. Chris Fitzgerald was going to be our guest co-host and life gets in the way. Made the tag, a hot tag to Kevin O. And,
the Axl Rotten.
What are you trying to say? I have no life that I've just able to show up?
Or? You know, Kevin O really didn't have anything to do tonight.
We were saying it without saying it. You said it, so your
yeah,
words.
I was going to say it. I'm putting you over. I'm putting you over, talking you up, and you bring it right down. Yeah. No, appreciate the hot tag, man.
No problem.
Kevin O is a past alumni, third episode now.
Third episode, yeah.
He did the, we had the Codex Obscurum episode, and then he also tagged in on a previous episode in another wrestling panel, and Kev books shows at Ralph's yep. Diner in Worcester, Mass. Under the Codex Obscurum brand, and anything you want to plug up front here?
I mean, people just look up Metal Thursday on Facebook or Ralph's Facebook. I also need to plug that we'll be showing WrestleMania at Ralph's upstairs, projected on the big screen.
So. Yeah, Anthony wanted to plug that shit.
So if you want to come by for WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, just look up Metal Thursday. I'm not going to plug every show we're doing.
No, it's no. Much. We'll do some more plugs later on, but just in case people are listening at the beginning here. So
keep the
show going. Exactly. Though. All right, I got to do some bullshit housekeeping. I'm a couple of vodkas deep, so let's see how this episode goes.
You have wonderful ice, too.
It's a big cube, just the big round.
It's a big round. Sphere.
Balls? Would you say you're balls deep?
I'm balls deep in this. It's the name of the episode. If we didn't have a guest this week, balls deep. Download numbers, guys. Got to do some housekeeping. Download numbers are looking great from our previous episode with the dudes from Angra and the dudes from Capital Wrestling. It was a stacked episode last week. If you're into power metal, if you're into Fabio from Rhapsody, if you're into stories from independent wrestling promoters, check out the episode with Angra and Capital Wrestling, Matt and Marcus. Good luck to those guys. They're doing the very first show or event a couple of weeks in Jersey City. It takes balls to start a wrestling company in 2017. I got to give you that. There's a lot of competition. So
I would say more competition now than ever because it's everyone's got to be like national, even if you're just an indie thing. Like you still gotta
present
as if you're the most important.
I mean, getting people to show up to anything today is difficult.
You can speak from the metal side of it. Just to be able, just to have the balls to pull the trigger and say, all right, we're gonna do a fucking show. Hopefully, we'll break even. And you know, you can speak to that from the metal side. So
yeah, nobody comes out to anything. People are the worst.
They say they're gonna come out. They're always interested.
Interested means they don't think you're an asshole, and your event looks okay, but they're not coming.
I'd rather take an interested than like a nothing.
Yeah, and going means like half of us are coming.
Going's like if nothing,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
If there's nothing better to do that night.
I've been a part of events that it say like, oh, 200 to 300 people will be there. Yeah. How many people were there? 80.
80 is a good number. I'd take 80 every day.
Number. You can't tight. Like, what would it take to just get people to fucking come out? You can make beer really cheap. You can make the event really cheap. You can promote it. People are lazy.
If we shut down the internet tomorrow, more people should do events.
People would definitely need to be more social.
Yeah.
Like a Facebook, what if Facebook just said, fuck it, we're done?
Well, you still got Netflix and YouTube. There's a lot of
valid. There are other streams of entertainment.
Shut down the internet.
I think it applies more to social. Like if you shut down every sort of communication, like you still had access to the internet, but like you didn't have any form of communication with other people, then.
Yeah, you'd have to go out and see people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or talk to them on the phone.
It's more kids, because I think kids are just used to using the internet now. Yeah. They don't have to go out and see their friends.
They have options.
Because, to be honest with you, it's mostly older people that I see going out to stuff.
Yeah, because
goddamn kids aren't cool enough to hang.
They're waiting for someone to put it on Facebook Live so they can just sit on their fucking couch and watch it.
Sounds like shit. Glad I wasn't there. Yeah.
Nailed it. Two other things, more housekeeping. Shout out to the Facebook admin crew for keeping topics busy and hot.
Yeah, because I've been slacking.
You've been busy, but
I try to do once a week, but like weeks will go by where I don't post a goddamn thing, and I'm just like, oh yeah. Every time someone does something, I'm like, oh yeah, I should fucking do something.
Guilty, but that's exactly why we hired our admin crew. Yeah, we can keep topics while we're quiet. We're doing episodes; they're probably posting right now.
And then I get reminded by their posts, but I'm like, I don't want to fucking make a post that fucking cuts their balls off. You know,
take the heat.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll post like multiple posts to get them out of the way.
You know, we're a small crew here, and it's good to have somebody. I need more metal posts. I need more, because that's the thing. There's not much metal to talk about. Not a lot of news items. At wrestling, you get a news item every fucking hour. But metal was just like, oh, this band's dropping a new album next year. Cool. We have nothing to talk about. It's just a news item. It's flat. No conversation going down.
But then you have the comments section, and that's where the fucking... The action happens.
That's where the magic is.
Yeah that's where the magic is.
It is just a cesspool. Like, I imagine the comments section, like, you remember in Rio last year with the Olympics, the pools after a day?
Green.
Yeah. Nailed it.
I got it. Picking up what you're putting down. I know, obviously, nobody in this room is even following it, but, like, you know the band Suicide Silence?
I know who they are.
Deathcore.
Yes.
They dropped a, they're deathcore.
They're singing now.
They're singing. That's
clean vocals.
They put out a Deftones album. Oh, what's going on. Yeah. They put out a Deftones album, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the internet's blowing up. Like, fuck you, fuck this, fuck that. And I got to agree with them. So, like, if you're a band, this is who you are. It would be like if Neckbreaker in 2 weeks, we just covered fucking, I don't know.
We're the fashion podcast.
We just cover, we'll cover clothing.
And I am fashion.
And hip hop. We cover DJ albums. Like, we do mixtapes now.
Yeah. Like, what's stopping us?
Don't change your brand.
Well, fuck you, Marks. You're not where the money is.
We'd probably make money if we did that, but don't change your brand.
It's like anything else. Yeah. You get into something because that's what you like.
The fans are into that. Give them what they want. Yeah. I mean, you can tweak it a little bit and fucking refresh it. And I don't know why we're talking about Suicide Silence.
No, you brought it up.
Don't.
How do you not know how? You brought it up.
But like, no, I kind of feel bad. Like, I'm conflicted on this because there are times when you hate a band for changing and there are times where you love a band for changing. You know what I mean? Like, you and I love Van Hagar.
Huge fan of Van Hagar.
But it's completely different from Van Halen.
And I get the heat. I get the heat behind that.
Yeah.
Songwriting is, you think the songwriting changed, like, instrumentally?
But the Suicide Silence guys are the same guys, right?
Right.
It's not like Van Hagar where they changed the lineup.
It's just a different singer.
Just a different singer, but like...
Because the original one, the original guy died, yeah.
So, like, we know David Lee Roth, like, the songwriting changed, though? Did they go more chorus-based more for Van Halen when Roth left?
And they were way more ballady.
More ballady, chorus, more... I think the songwriting kind of changed with that too, so I could see where the heat is, but...
But, like, I love the fact that there's that version of Van Halen to listen to. Because you have all the classic stuff, and, it's not like they don't play that fucking 1984 album in its entirety live.
No. The Best of Both Worlds tour needs to happen. I know it's been a long time since they've done that or talked about it. So.
They did that.
I know they did it. I just wasn't. It's too late. Or I was too young.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I went in 2004 with Sammy.
Fuck yeah. So thanks again, Facebook admin crew, posting. It's Corey and William. Will, who are doing really good posts, and I appreciate that. At NB Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And one last plug, neckbreaker.net/shop. We got t-shirts. That's like the only way we're going to ask for money. We're not going to do any more ads or any bullshit. Buy a fucking shirt. We got Coors Light shirts. We got Black Metal shirts. We got LOD shirts.
We have another shirt that, now that you're bringing it up, that we'll be launching fairly soon.
A tour shirt of sorts?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten about it. I've just been tied up with other things, but
Zelda.
Well, that, and when we were renovating my house, it was kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Well, but, we got more but shirts.
I'm back to, I found it and I'm back to it.
We got more shirts coming down the road. I mean, legit, I mean, sure, they're probably about $18 or whatever, but if we sold them for less, then we wouldn't make any profit. We can sell them for 10 or 12, but we're going to make not as much. We're trying to just at least break even. We're not trying to make money. Want to just break even. That's right. Yeah, that's our goal.
The show is free.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're just trying to break even. So we don't want to spend money on even this shit. We don't want to make money. Just break even and be nice. So
it's like we're providing you with so much entertainment. Like, I'm wearing a bra and they're throwing nickels at my feet right now to entertain you.
Exactly. Neckbreaker.net/shop. Buy a shirt. So let's get to a fucking business. What we came here for. Pro Wrestling Headlines.
Big week.
Huge week.
It's episode 115. You know the drill. This is what we fucking do. We have a bunch of drinks and we talk headlines. So I wrote a bunch. You know, surprisingly, Impact Wrestling has almost more headlines than WWE this week.
Well, they're the ones who kind of made it the big week.
So I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. If you are not reading spoilers online or whatever, if you're trying to be live with Impact, skip ahead, I don't know, five minutes or some bullshit. Those
two Impact
whoever
fans,
those two people are.
Be okay.
That's right. We will be.
I gotta be.
Although I haven't really watched it in a few weeks, I just try to keep up with it the best I can.
I am kind of interested in checking out the new Impact, but
I don't know. I was listening to a podcast. I don't know if it was like Chris Hardwick or something, but I don't know where they dropped like a fucking Walking Dead spoiler. It was just out of nowhere, and it was like,
yeah, I'd be pissed.
My heart is broken. And nobody follows Impact.
I turned down the Walking Dead cast to come on the show. So
I figured you did. I thank you. Appreciate the time. Alberto El Patron got signed to, not only did he get signed to Impact Wrestling, but they made him the champion.
First day,
typical TNA.
Belt mark.
WWE guy, you're getting the belt.
I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, I don't blame Impact for doing that. I mean, dude's a name, Hispanic crowd. You know, he's just working
indies. I kind of feel like that's the direction they're going.
Like going for the Hispanic audience or going for... Because of LAX too, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, they made Del Rio champ. They made LAX champs. It's kind of like, I think they're sensing that like WWE's audience is a little bit gentrified right now. Like everyone, like they're not really drawing well in demographics other than like people basically. Like, and if you look at the individual numbers, they're just kind of like less and less Latinos, less and less like white people. You know what I mean?
Well, they had a huge Indian crowd at one point. Like, they were huge in India.
That's what I mean. Like, TNA, too, because wrestling is, like, huge there. But they don't have, like, any infrastructure to make it happen. Because I don't know if you know anything about India, but it's, like there are, like, people with money, and then there's, like, third world country India. So it's kind of, like, a interesting dynamic, like Mexico, almost.
It's we have a gap here in the U.S. from, you know, the top... Who are making?
But there's a basic,
But the drop is not as big as India.
Yeah, there's a basic sort of level of living in America. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, like
middle class of sorts.
Right. Exactly. Like, well, I mean, like everyone. There's homeless people, but it's not like it's more controlled here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you could work your way out of the gutter in India. I think you could. If you're in the gutter. You're just in the gutter.
You're pretty much stuck there.
Yeah.
They made El Patron the champion, which I think that's... then again, there's a couple of TV results that have gone out. I don't think I've read them all. I know he was a champion on the first episode, but I don't even know if he's the champion.
There was controversy, they later. Said. I don't know what it, like, there was two referees involved.
Typical hogwash, which
but,
is...
But Del Rio left with the belt, I guess. So he's, on paper, he's the champion right now.
So good, you know, good for them. You know, if he's available and they can afford it.
Why wouldn't you want Del Rio working for you?
Take the fucking money. I mean, I don't know if Paige comes along with that bullshit.
Paige is still in a contract with WWE.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She just definitely does not.
She was backstage.
She's
backstage, but like, all right. So like, I'm surprised they haven't fucking cut her already.
No, because that movie, The Rock's making about her life.
Oh, so then they keep her until
they have to have her around.
Oh my god.
That's why she's just sitting at home collecting a paycheck.
Oh damn, she's got them by the fucking balls.
She does. They have to keep her
around
for that
smart.
Movie.
She's smart. She's a lot smarter than I think I was giving her credit for.
Yeah, because that's a WWE studio.
She came off like appearing like some just psycho bitch who was in love with Del Rio, and like now I'm thinking, oh man, yeah.
She's
working. Good for her.
Yeah, you can't have her working for TNA and a movie of her life comes out in WWE.
Oh, man. That would be brutal. Ooh.
So within the past couple of weeks, it's probably 2 weeks old, fuck it, talent's leaving. So with the changing of the guard with TNA or Impact, it's Impact, by the way, but...
Yeah, they got rid of the TNA moniker.
Hardy's gone.
Which was crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
Gone. Like
best thing in wrestling.
You're too well. Matt Hardy is the most over dude in 2016.
But all those videos, most definitely. Best thing in wrestling, without a doubt, better than anything in WWE.
Jeff Hardy's tagging along, but it's not a bad tag along. So take both of them. But I'm sure they asked for retarded money. They probably said, "This is what we want. We want full creative control and this much money."
I don't think if like they prove themselves to be worthy of creative control. Yeah. Like you know what I mean?
I'm not gonna argue that.
So I kind of feel like, why would you want someone who did the greatest thing TNA's done in close to a decade to suddenly have their balls cut off, you know? Why are you trying to do that? Makes no sense.
Like, if you can back it up. If you can back up the creative
control.
Yeah,
they proved themselves.
Like, okay.
For sure.
Check the ratings. Check the social media presence.
Do not check the ratings. Don't well, check the ratings.
I take that back. Check the social media presence.
It's you're not far off, though. Like... It's tough. Like their audience is definitely chopped in half from where it used to be, but like they definitely see spikes certain weeks during like when Matt Hardy does shit. You know
look
what I mean?
At YouTube because I don't watch TV. But
that's
I'm
how most people consume wrestling is through like you know
YouTube,
the internet,
social media, and you know check the views. And I'm sure they get advertising on those videos, so that's money coming in. You get Drew Galloway. Another great talent.
Not as big of a deal though. Yeah, he was kind of like
he was in three man band. Like by the end in WWE,
dude's money. He's bad. He's been better since three.
I think he's good, but like he just wasn't involved with anything major in TNA. He was like feuding with like Moose. He lost the grand championship. He like you know if he's gone, it's not like earth shattering. Like I felt like the Hardys was like
well, that's
holy
why
shit.
I said the Hardys first, but like. Galloway's a loss. Mike Bennett and Maria.
Yeah, after one
they come back to Beyond Wrestling. I'm psyched.
I'm sure they're gonna get booked.
Together.
They'll be booked in no time. They'll be in Worcester in no time.
It's gonna be awesome.
Taven will be there. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kingdom's great.
I'm sure they'll do that shit again.
I'm surprised they don't bring Maria back to WWE.
I thought the whole thing talked about it
because Punk was, I thought, the big.
No.
Why? No.
No.
That's not why.
It wasn't the reason. I forget the reason. I think it was the Bellas.
Bella
Heat.
Oh,
Bella Heat? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, I had no idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Bellas had heat with everybody.
But, I mean, Marie is so fucking hot.
Marie's great. You know? Mike Bennett is definitely not a WWE guy. He'd be lost in the shuffle. But Maria would
He'd be
great.
Good on SmackDown, mid-card, and then...
Yeah, he has that Mike Sanders vibe.
Mike Sanders.
He could be nice like... Take. He could be the guy getting the heat on the microphone that's never going to be like... You know, anything more than...
a good indie guy, but yeah, he's not a WWE guy.
I wouldn't say it. I think he could work, but I don't think he'd be main event level. Yeah.
He's a good hand. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Good hand.
He's a mechanic.
Good mechanic.
like we know.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, like we know anything. What was it? Jade?
Jade, yeah.
Jade's gone, right? I mean,
she's good. She was probably the best part of the Dollhouse when they were doing that thing.
I think I see it as house cleaning, and the way I see this, somebody brought up a good point. I don't know if it was Reddit or whatever, but spend the money on new stars. That's exactly what they're trying.
Yeah, they signed a bunch of people.
Get people from WrestlePro, get people from Beyond, get young talent, pay them fucking cheap.
That's what they're doing, yeah.
But they're bringing jabronis like Jeff Jarrett.
That's where the interesting part comes in. Yeah. So they claim they're bringing in young talent, get the fresh talent from the Indies. But then Chris Matthews gets a job. Then of course Patron's got to get a job. Then I'm sure Carlito's probably not too far away. Well,
they brought Brother Lovin, so
Bruce Pritchard. That's one of the next item actually is. Yeah. So Bruce Pritchard is also back with Impact Wrestling, and the funny part is that they pretty much contacted Bruce and asked him how your podcast numbers are doing.
Yeah.
they legit asked him, how are your numbers? Show us hard proof of your numbers. Your audience.
I was going to say, so they just asked him, and he was like, yeah, we get 10,000 downloads a week, you know? And they're just marks. They're just kind of like, oh, okay, great. But if there was like if he sent them like graphs of,
we need screenshots from actual data sources, but like,
if they did that, then that's smart. Give them credit. Yeah, it makes sense.
The reason, I mean, if you're drawing from that audience, you're going to bring that podcast audience. If he's going to build an audience, they're probably going to check out the product. Maybe they will. The reason I bring that up, the interesting point is Vince Russo also got asked.
Yeah.
Well, from Jeff Jarrett.
That's where I said.
Came from, because Vince Russo said that Jeff Jarrett asked him about the numbers.
Jackpot. Yeah. So,
like I said, it's going to happen.
Soon enough. The fact that they're emailing each other and texting each other, it won't be long.
You're going to be having guys taking power bombs in the ring, and then they're going to cut away to a backstage vignette where they're walking behind somebody in some line. Because that's the shit that used to happen under Russo.
It did.
Fuck continuity.
It's not long. He has an email address, so I'm sure he'll be back in no time. I got you, fam. Russo brought up saying he got asked first. He provided his numbers, but I'm sure Bruce's numbers were bigger.
Yeah.
So, because Bruce is...
Well, there's no reason they can't bring them both in. It's not like WWE's barking on their fucking doors.
And I would take Bruce Pritchard over Vince Russo.
I'm sure they'll both come in.
Sure, Jarrett just said, fuck it, we need one dude to be a TV personality. Oh, your numbers are better. Fine. You're the dude. And that's what Bruce Pritchard is for the TV tapings.
No, he's doing behind-the-scenes stuff too, right? He's not just doing the,
I'm sure he's consulting.
In front of the camera. That's what I mean, yeah. So, like, there's no reason.
Zeb is, not Zeb. Who the fuck they're calling him now?
Fucking the Dirty Dutch.
Dirty Dutch, just thank you.
They probably
call him Dirty Dutch is writing. And
which I'm cool with.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Like, that's do the right thing. Grab dudes like that who fucking get it. You know Dirty Dutch gets it.
But you know, like I'm saying, Russo's fucking, he's going to come in and he's going to be working with Dutch. They're going back to the formula that they thought originally worked, which was like young up-and-coming wrestlers having the best matches possible, which I don't know if you've been watching WWE lately. It's not going to be easy.
Actually have a wrestling show. That'd be great.
If they focus on wrestling,
then
they could be legit, but they never have.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get there. So also, I got two other line items for Impact, and then we'll switch to WWE. Ring of Honor was late this week, and I don't have anything from New Japan, but...
Well, Ring of Honor had the fucking... The Hardys.
Oh, shit, that's one of the lineup. Yeah, you're right, that's a good point.
fucking Hardys came in and won the tag titles. So they just gave up the TNA tag titles and immediately win the ROH tag titles. Oh, man, what a week. And now ROH is blowing up, too.
So they're claiming that they have a long-term contract with Ring of Honor.
I don't think that's true. Yeah,
I suspect post Mania, maybe till May, maybe a couple of months.
Raw after Mania, something like that. Yeah,
a temporary ROH contract. You know, ROH. I think they're working us, but
although it would be nice to see them at Wrestle Kingdom next year.
Yeah, I'd like a good year run of ROH.
Yeah,
coming to WWE next year
because. Ring of Honor did the Big Money Mat years ago, and that was awesome.
They did a good job with that.
He brought that into TNA, and it sort of morphed into Broken Mat because it was mostly like the same shit he was doing as Big Money Mat, which was great.
let's see. TNA's initials are no longer. They've made it official. Their Impact Wrestling. They were teasing, not teasing, but the internet was teasing that Global Force Wrestling would take it over. But I don't think that's true. I think it's just Impact.
They're doing another invasion type of thing with Magnus coming in as the Global Wrestling Champion.
Yeah, who cares?
A Global Force Champion.
The TNA logos were a goof anyway, back from the early 2000s.
Call it Impact. I'm fine with Impact.
Originally it was NWA, and like they had like Wildside, and like NWA Wildside, all that stuff. it was NWA TNA because they were supposed to be like the Attitude Era E version of NWA, which was all over the place. It had different like versions of their same product. Like, so like that's how it started. And it was just fucking Vince Russo being a child.
Yeah,
that's where it was. So it's like, nope, TNA is our, we are TNA wrestling. It's kind of like, dude, that's not a, like, that's not good. And that's the worst long name term, possible.
No.
It's
funny when you're 12.
It was like, good for two.
They should call themselves the Booger Pickers, you know?
Yeah. I'd watch Booger Picker Wrestling.
Yeah, fart wrestling.
Yeah. So it's like, that's fart wrestling. Fart
wrestling.
Oh, God damn. I would watch that.
I would too.
It's just doughy guys.
Weed, you'd be fine. Like,
yeah, big fat guy.
Like 220 plus. Like, you've got
to minimum? That's the minimum to get
220,
in.
220, 5'8. Like is the bare minimum to fucking get in.
You can't be too tall.
Like if you have like toned muscles, you are out. Like, oh, sorry, you do not
belong. Awesome ring talent.
It's just fat dudes. It's just fat dudes. It's FUBU for fat guys in wrestling. Oh my god, it's amazing.
I'm starting fat awesome ring talent right now.
Booking at Ralph's
trademark.
And their set is a Statue of Liberty, but she's super fat. Super fat. It just says, "Give me your fat."
Fuck, I can't believe how many Impact headlines we have, but it's been a bit of a busy week. So they're also back on Spike in the UK.
Yeah, I saw that. Now I was Spike in the UK? My interest was immediately peaked. I was like, oh, TNA getting back to it. They survived the fucking their gutter and they're getting back to
that, did they get rid of that internet thing they had in the UK? They had that pay-per-view like internet thing.
Probably. I think that was a stopgap.
That didn't last very long.
No. That was a stopgap because they
lost their UK deal.
Yeah, I forget what the channel was, but they were on there forever and like Sky Sports or something like that. I think it was.
So they got a deal with UK, Spike in UK, and I'm sure that they're trying it out. It's a trial period, I think, to see if they can translate that to the US. But Spike's becoming a new channel in 2018. Paramount or some bullshit as usual.
Yeah,
all those fucking channels change every 2 years.
Well, Spike used to be like G4, right?
G4, and it used to be
G4 Tech TV.
Yeah, I don't know. Esquire. I don't know. They change like every fucking year. Every two years, they say we can't be a male channel anymore. We have to be a broad channel.
Because they fucking get rid of some fucking mid-level executive who fucking was like, we're going to concentrate on this demographic. No, we're going to concentrate in this.
We're a men's channel.
But they're kind of in a dying industry now, so it's kind of like magazines.
You have to be for everybody.
Yes,
yeah, you can't just focus on one thing. You
eventually saw less and less and less of the niche magazines and more and more and more of the home decor magazines. Because
everyone knows a home or lives in a home.
Yeah, so it kind of narrows the audience a little bit. But in 10 years, they're not going to have channels anymore.
TV, within our lifetime, it would be like TV.
I can just hate Roman Reigns in my brain.
It just comes right to you.
Within our lifetimes, we will cease to have cable lines and we will only have internet lines.
I went to my mom's house the other on Monday and she had a newspaper on her table. I'm like, 10-20 years, that'll be gone. That'll be a thing of the past.
A lot of them are gone now. They're all online.
Like she had a hard copy of The Lowell Sun. I know. Our fans in the UK are like, what the fuck are you talking about? But
they have newspapers in the UK,
right? But like the Lowell Sun, I'm talking about.
Well, they don't have the Lowell Sun.
No, they don't have UK, they don't know.
But they have newspapers.
They get the idea.
Yeah.
So you had a Lowell Sun on the fucking table. And I'm like, it was the lightest Lowell Sun I've ever fucking heard. It was probably 10 pages.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly.
Newspapers are getting even lighter and lighter and lighter over the years. I'm like, that's going to be fucking gone in 10 years, 15 years. Like, you printed paper every week and brought it to somebody's house. Like, that's going to be the oldest concept in the world. I don't know why I'm talking about newspapers, but let's switch to WWE. We got a bunch of headlines coming up. Fastlane.
Oof.
Good opinion. I know you watch Fastlane, Geoff.
Oh, yeah, I know I watch it too.
Fastlane.
Ingrained in my brain.
I watched it, but to be completely honest with you, I was not like paying attention to it. I was playing Zelda. So I just had it on.
You were better off.
What a shocker.
I will say this before I let you shoot. Goldberg winning was awesome. All right, you guys can take the floor.
I was fine with Goldberg winning. It just I wanted more of a match.
I thought you guys were going to complain about that, so I'm just like, I know what this is going.
I knew he was
like,
going to win.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody knew he. We saw that coming from a mile away. But yeah.
It makes the story between him and Lesnar better, I feel like.
Do you think that match needed the belt?
Yeah.
You think it did?
It did not. I don't think it did. I knew he was going to win the belt.
It's the first Universal title ever at WrestleMania, so they need big names to sort of fill that gap. So you have Goldberg and you have Lesnar, who have had singles matches in the past, but it was never for anything. Now it's for something. It has a purpose other than Goldberg just spear jackhammer win.
Are they going to have a match, though, at WrestleMania? Is it going to last more than a few seconds?
I don't think Goldberg can go very long, so...
Well, that's why I'm asking.
They have to go more. I mean, it's the rematch. It's the rubber match. Not rubber match, but rematch for Brock and Goldberg. They got to go more than a buck.
But do they? Does Brock just win it in 10 seconds? Wouldn't that be a twist?
For a Mania close? Because that's going to close
They've Mania. Done some, a lot of shitty things at Manias before.
I don't think that closes Mania. I think it's...
No, it definitely doesn't close Mania.
I think they're
You don't think Goldberg and Lesnar's going to close Mania?
No.
Nope.
What's going to close?
I think it's going to be the actual SmackDown match because it's going SmackDown? On late. It's going on... God, like no. That main event's going to be late.
I bet that opens the card. I don't see a SmackDown main event closing Mania.
It could be Taker, no. Roman Reigns, and...
Oh, shit.
The Taker match.
I forgot about Taker Reigns. That could be too. I don't see our SmackDown main event closing WrestleMania this year, but I could see Reigns and Taker.
Randy Orton, AJ, and Bray Wyatt closing. I think that's going to happen. I bet
they open with that shit, because they did it with
It's an opener type of match from 5 years ago, yeah, but I think this year they're going for something different. Like they keep on building it as the main event of WrestleMania. Like, before, when they pulled that shit with Del Rio, when opening the card against Edge... They never really called it the main event. They always called it a championship match.
We got to change our perspective. They're going for the lowest common denominator of crowd, of wrestling audience. The biggest, vision is Goldberg and Lesnar from a mainstream popularity.
Well, also they're talking this is Taker's last WrestleMania. So if this is Taker's last WrestleMania and they say that before Mania, that's the last match.
We know that?
They're saying it. If he says before Mania that he's retiring, well, not necessarily retiring, this is his last WrestleMania.
Hand it over to the big dog.
Yeah, then that's the last match. WrestleMania ends with that.
If Taker's done,
yeah,
they could close, but then Taker would do favors. So Roman Reigns would go over at the end.
And the other thing is, you don't want Goldberg at the end. Because even if he can do a 5-minute match, it's going to suck. It's not going to be a good match.
I disagree. I think him and Lesnar could do some fucking... Some stiff shot type of deal. Like, not like punches, but like, you know what I mean? Like
how stiff he was with Roman last year. Because
they're both kind of MMA guys, too.
They got to beat the shit out of each other.
I don't think they're going to, I think, go, you know.
If that would have worked.
Take a shit kick in like that, but. I think they're
going to want fireworks at the end. And
they could do some sparring and stuff, but I don't think that match closes.
No, I don't think so either.
So our next episode will be covering the, we're going to do a full WrestleMania preview, because that'll be 2 weeks from now, and I'm sure we'll have a better idea of the card and all that, but. So Goldberg and Owens went, I know we're talking fast lane, Goldberg and Owens went, what, a buck?
22 seconds.
22 seconds?
It was 22 seconds.
Less than a minute.
Yeah.
Owens, how do you feel about that?
It was complete bullshit.
Perfect. It's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Oh no, Kevin Owens has to complain about the company who made him Universal Champion. He's got an extra grind.
It should have lasted a little longer. They didn't do him
right.
Owens was working at Fat Music Hall 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, so him being confused by Jericho's music. Oh no, here comes Jericho's music.
He's got a WrestleMania match, like a singles match. Yeah,
still.
The heel getting his fucking, retribution of sorts. You know, Jericho coming out. Causing that hoopla. I get the build-up.
Here's
that.
A shoot. Jericho Owens should close. It's been the best storyline of the year.
It's the only storyline that they've built up to.
That's why it's a hot take. It's not real.
it's fine. I mean, Owens and Jericho for the U.S. title, they've made the U.S. title already worth way more just by building up that feud. I'm fine with that match. So there's a couple of things from Fastlane that went on that blew up the internet. And I'm torn. So Braun Strowman losing
the Heat, so screwed.
Heat's gone.
He shouldn't have lost.
I don't think so.
You keep him undefeated. Well, into Mania.
You don't think the Heat's gone? Is that what you said?
The Heat's gone. The
Heat's gone.
But not because of that match. The Heat's gone because he fucking tucked tail and ran away from the Undertaker.
That too, last night. That was like total bullshit.
Yeah, they cut his balls off pretty
quick.
They
totally cut his balls off.
But I think he redeems himself at Mania.
Did you see the video online? Somebody reversed it. Somebody took the video from Raw and they changed the order. So Taker was bailing from Strowman.
Yeah.
And it looked fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Like Taker was like, yo, I'm out of here. That's how you build young talent. That's exactly how you build young talent.
I thought the match against Reigns was awesome.
If you saw the crowd reaction, I think the crowd wanted Braun versus Taker more than they wanted Reigns versus Taker.
And you want Taker, especially if this is his last WrestleMania, make him the underdog. Braun Strowman's the big, tough, new guy. Can he beat him at his last WrestleMania? That's a storyline.
Valid.
But what they're doing is, no, we're not going to do that, pal. We're going to book him against the guy who beat him at Fastlane. It's even bigger.
It's just so stupid.
Although, Reigns, it seems like they're turning Reigns heel for that Taker feud.
We'll see.
That's where he needs to be. That's exactly where he needs to be. Let him be heel. Give him 2 years on that, and then we'll like him. We'll like him in 2 years.
Well, what's going to happen is I think Lesnar wins the Universal title and Reigns beats Taker, and that sort of leads into their natural Lesnar-Reigns unresolved business feud being like, we never found out at Mania because Rollins screwed it up, but beat Taker at Mania, I beat Taker at Mania. Let's find out who's
That's probably what they're going to do. It's pretty.
Strowman. So you had Strowman and Reigns, which was a better match than I think anybody expected.
Nope, Reigns is good.
You know the match was good, right?
People just hate him because he's the chosen one.
It was a good match.
Reigns is good and Strowman's good, but together we didn't expect them to be good and it was fine.
I thought I expected a good match out of them.
Yeah, I think Strowman's good. Yeah.
Strowman's good.
Great.
Well, individually they're good, but sometimes you get two big dudes together and it can be a shit show.
Oh, we're just watching Psycho Sid downstairs. He was awful. That guy was pushed to the moon, and he wasn't a quarter as good as Strowman.
Come on, Sid. You want a piece of me?
I mean, come on.
Strowman's a fucking vest for Hardcore Heaven 99.
Strowman needs a leather vest.
All right, so Strowman's undefeated at this point, and they get rid of his streak. We're gonna keep going on about streaks here for the rest of this Fastlane review, but Strowman's undefeated, and they give it a Reigns at fucking Fastlane.
A no-name pay-per-view.
No-name, B-show, get rid of it.
But it makes Humanize Reigns them. Look strong. It's more of them just rubbing it in that getting Reigns over as a heel is by just making him...
But Strowman's a heel.
That's what they're trying to do. Like, people are starting to like Strowman because he was on the Jericho's podcast and they found his Tinder
profile. He's a good brother.
And like, everyone kind of likes him. You know what I mean? Like, he's just naturally good in wrestling. Like, his first match was in WWE. He never wrestled beforehand.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in our wrestling thread. He started training in 2013.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's started training in 20. That's retarded.
Yeah.
How good,
and it just threw him in there, and he's not sinking. Like, you think of all the guys who they've done that to, like
Nathan Jones
and fucking
any big dude from Kali, 1993.
Think about The Rock. The Rock came from college football and jumped in the WWE. He didn't have that many years before he got great.
Valid.
Some guys are just naturals. Some guys just jump into it.
Think Rock's personality saved him. It allowed him the time.
Yeah, but he was a good wrestler. He was passable.
He was but it allowed him the time to get great.
Strowman is an AJ Styles. He's good. He's passable.
He does the kip up. That's all he needs to do. Like, he has that one little special thing. He can just be the big guy who people run into and fall over.
Yeah.
So that Hoss. Looking at Fastlane, I see this as the, fuck it, we can't have anybody with streaks. Let's just humanize everybody.
You gonna make me talk about Charlotte, how Charlotte gets screwed?
That's the next bullet line. So we have Charlotte.
It kind of feeds into the story, though. They're not, like, the pay-per-view streak is over, but, like...
They humanized three characters. They're drawing
into the... It's part of the story to WrestleMania. Why they're doing it.
If she was going to lose, she should have lost at WrestleMania.
I think that... Yeah, exactly.
Streak into WrestleMania.
I thought she should have overcame the odds anyway from Dana Brooke coming down after Sasha. You know what I mean? Because that way you kind of reverse book it. That would have made more sense.
Yeah, you have Dana... Yeah. Drumps in the ring, disqualification. She didn't technically lose.
They feel like they need to fill content every month. They didn't need a women's match this paper. If they just skipped it, all right, say they skipped Bayley winning the title on Raw 5 weeks ago, whatever the fuck it was, 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Skip that bullshit. Skip this pay-per-view. You don't need a women's match every pay-per-view. And then have Bayley win the belt at Mania and defeat the WrestleMania, the pay-per-view streak at the same time.
I thought just
at WrestleMania, there's your story.
They could have built it up. It could have been Bayley, a Daniel Bryan moment. It could have been.
I was saying have Bayley lose the title to Charlotte at Fastlane, and then she defends it again at Mania, being like,
it's already old news. Like, it already, like, I don't know, they pulled the trigger too quickly.
Yeah, Charlotte should have been holding that title up till Mania, and then Bayley wins it.
Well, we're all kind of Monday morning quarterback in this one.
Like, this is our show.
Well, that's the show, man.
Yeah, yeah, no,
brother.
Like, so I'm not. I don't want to like put the cart ahead of the horse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm kind of still intrigued to where this is going. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
You've watched WWE before. You know this is going nowhere, right?
No, but I'm saying in terms of like the WrestleMania payoff, like
right.
But what could they do that is a great payoff for that?
I kind of feel like Sasha Banks starts a heel turn.
See, I would have ran with...
She should have been a heel from the beginning.
Yeah.
Either Bayley versus Charlotte, where Bayley's chasing the title till Mania. Mm-hmm. She gets the big victory, hoopla and all that bullshit. Or you can do Bayley and Sasha to Mania. Where Sasha does the heel turn and you build up to that. So then... She teased the heel turn a little bit, right? At the paper, at Fastlane, she teased the heel turn.
Yeah.
That was fucking heel 101 right there.
Yeah.
Say, you know, Dana Brooke, stay backstage, whatever. And then the fucking baby face comes out and helps the baby win. Like, it's screaming heel turn.
Heel tactic, so.
Sasha's a heel. I mean. She should be a heel. She's that bitchy
They should put Sasha and Charlotte together. Then Bayley has two main inventors that she has to compete against.
Valid. Yeah.
And then she really has a mountain she has to climb. Doesn't that make way more sense? Two main inventors, two of the toughest girls in the WWE.
Making sense is all we do here on the show.
Yeah. But WWE probably won't do that.
Because we ain't making the dollars.
Brother. Buy them t-shirts.
Let's buy some t-shirts next
time. Buy them gimmicks, brother.
/ shop. Again, I mean, this Fastlane interview was three of their biggest people they're sort of building up on Raw and humanizing them. You have Nia Jax. So Nia Jax they were building up. Heel monster.
She's still a wild card though. Like she lost a roll up to Sasha.
Roll up victory is not as bad. I'll give you that.
So she's fine.
They humanized her.
There must be something they don't like about her.
No, I kind of feel
she
like
she should have been pushed to the moon.
Post Mania they're gonna start figuring her into the title.
I think it's too late. I mean,
brother, I feel I'm constantly hearing post-Mania this, post-Mania that. If they wanted to push her, they would have pushed her.
Well, I think they're building up certain people towards Mania, and then after Mania, they need fresh storylines. So they're kind of keeping people on the back burner until after WrestleMania. I think they're kind of planning a little bit further ahead than most people give them credit for.
No, they book it the day of. We all know that. Vince books it the day of.
They just figured out what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't think they could be successful and fly by the seat of their pants so much, though. WCW imploded because of that.
You know, maybe it's the hipster deal, whatever, but when I watch a SmackDown one-off pay-per-view, I don't feel as
mentally drained.
Dragging on. But it's the same length for pay-per-views.
Less Vince.
I know SmackDown's shorter than Raw, but pay-per-views are the same length.
Can I give you some insight into that?
No. Next topic.
It's less Vince. It's the same thing in... early 2000s, why SmackDown was better.
Take them away, toys.
They changed the rope colors, and when they did that, the red ropes strained the eyes more than the blue ropes. So visually speaking, SmackDown is more appealing to most people.
Just on color.
Just based on color alone. It doesn't strain, like Raw strains your eyes more to watch, because you're watching a screen for 3 hours as opposed to 2 hours. So everyone likes SmackDown. I've been kind of like... looking into that a little bit. It's kind of interesting.
Not that the rest of
the better, I could see the science behind that. Like
just the general aesthetics of the show. Like they changed, like SmackDown changed the camera angles. So like
whoa,
things from a different angle than what you're used to. Raw's more of like the same thing that you're staring at.
Same old.
Your eyes timed kind of.
What about the purple ropes? Everyone hates the purple ropes.
Because they're not appealing. Purple.
Purple's not appealing. Just blue.
It's kind
speak
of
like, for yourself.
It's kind I of like purple. A rough color to look at, and as opposed to like white. Or black, like white and black ropes, like are the easiest to look at. I hate
it here first.
So. from a.
I'm telling you, there's something to this.
There's some science behind this. I read it on Reddit, so it's true.
That's where I.
Hope it's on Reddit. It has to be true.
Somebody posted it. I didn't even think about it. It's called in marketing. There's A/B testing. If you send an email blast, say you got a big fucking database of emails, we do A/B testing. We'll send group A this email and send group B this email. We'll see which group responds better. Somebody said they feel that SmackDown and Raw are doing A/B testing.
Yeah, exactly.
Raw is your typical, here's your rough fucking Raw episode, same old, and then B testing, which is SmackDown. Let's fucking change everything. Change the booking style, change the writing, change the fucking camera angles, change the production.
And it works because it's all new and refreshing from... They're not changing too much, mind you, but they're changing just enough to where it feels more like fresh to watch.
What's new is fresh.
But yeah. I also thought the color red was like sexually appealing. Like,
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. So,
it's alluring. It draws your attention is what red does. It's just when you're staring at it for so long, it becomes a chore. That's where that's coming from. It's just when you look at like a blank piece of paper, it's like when you look at white paper for so long, that's why they have the yellow paper, is because it doesn't drain your eyes as much.
Well, I'll go to my 89-year-old grandfather who just said, they talk so much. All they do is talk. There's no wrestling. I'm not watching it anymore.
Are you saying that to your grandfather?
My grandfather says that.
Well, your grandfather's right.
Yeah. Too much talking. All they do is talk.
Not enough doughy guys, just fucking.
Yeah, doughy guys.
He doesn't want wrestling. He doesn't want to see, 2018 sitcom bullshit.
Yeah,
it's too much talk. Soap opera. I got a couple more headlines, but I want you guys to jump in after if you got anything else I forgot. For WWE, at least we got Rick Rude in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Amazing, long overdue. Time.
He's our dead guy this year, so that's good.
Both way time. Long overdue. There's not much to talk about there. Jack Swagger asked for his release, and apparently they didn't give him it. Yet.
They're pussyfooting around it.
Of course they are. He's, you know, he's a
because I think he wants to go to TNA is their thing.
Yeah.
Because Del Rio's there. Coulter's there, so he wants to go there. Because
that makes sense.
He can work with Del Rio. He can make some money. And they're just kind of like, not so fast there, Jackie boy.
Jack's just fucking spinning the wheels. He's fucking gears are probably Jack's rotating.
He's got a baby face. He's not intimidating.
He's had the lisp. I
think that's his problem, is the lisp.
And he knows this. I think he's tried to improve it, but that's, you know, you focus on your Paul Heyman style. Focus on what you're good at and hide the bullshit that you're not good at.
Put a mask on him or something.
Don't put a fucking mic in front of him. Yeah. You don't have Jack Swagger talk. You get a Zeb Coulter. That's exactly what they did, and they got him over.
I think that's what their TNA wants to do.
They would love to have him and Zeb or Dirty Dutch. If we can get Dirty Dutch as a manager again... I'm sure they'd take that.
Yeah.
So, you know, fucking release him. Let him go.
But he's, I think that's happy, why that's why they're pussyfooting around it. And then just like, yeah, we would, but we're on to you. So
we're also giving away money.
Why are we going to give TNA ammo?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. So a little weak on their part.
The WrestleMania feud that's been on off is Big Show and Shaq. Apparently Shaq is an ESPN commentator condition. So, you know,
out
of shape and just not ready. I mean, they've been hyping this thing since fucking, I feel like, September.
Yeah, long
at least since September.
Since last WrestleMania.
At least since post-Mania last year. They've been talking about it. I mean, where do you guys see this feud? Do you think this is happening or do you think it's off?
I don't think there's a chance it happens because Shaq's to, like, he fucking dug a hole that he can't get out of.
I just don't
care. Big Show's in incredible shape, and Shaq's in Big Show shape.
Yeah, why couldn't Big Show do this 20 years ago? He would have been champion WWE for, you know, a decade.
He looks
great.
Show's in shape, and I think he wanted his final money run, just like with Floyd Mayweather. Just a good money ESPN mainstream run and fucking call it a day. I think that's what he wanted with Shaq, but Shaq's been phoning it in. So... they got 4 weeks now. They better pull a trigger or it ain't happening.
Put Show in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Call it a day. Give him the win.
Show wanted this to end. I think he wanted to retire this year.
Well, winning that Battle Royal is a good retirement. Wins the trophy. No shame in that.
That's true.
Call it a day. Because he's not winning a title, so.
I'm sure it's about the best he's gonna get.
I'm sure he prefer ESPN coverage and mainstream coverage working with Shaq versus a battle royal. Mm-hmm. It's probably on the pre-show.
Shaq's a big fat piece of crap, so it's probably not happening.
Real nice take, Kev.
Hot takes.
I got one more headline, but you guys can add more shit. What about Rollins?
They at some point they're gonna label him a guy who's always injured. He's not gonna get the push. If it keeps happening, it's just safe happening right now.
Right?
Great wrestler. I don't care about him versus Triple H at all.
I think what's going to happen, it's going to like turn into like some sort of like tag match with Rollins and Balor against Joe and Triple H.
That would be cool. I like that.
Like Owens and Joe and Triple H are sort of like going to start forming like a stable.
I don't think there's enough time.
I'll save that for
I mean, they're pushing all these angles right now like crazy. We might see it next week.
But like they've been like showing Rollins and Balor in rehab, like showing those pictures.
Rollins in rehab, but not really Balor.
Yeah, but they've shown there's pictures of them together in rehab.
You're right.
So it's like they could start building up like.
But I almost feel like
the bond that they formed.
They'll save Balor for the day after WrestleMania for the huge pop.
For the Raw pop.
Yeah, I could see huge day after WrestleMania pop.
I could see that, because I think it's not enough time now to reintroduce Balor to the audience, because they saw him at
SummerSlam. Well, I think they're going to give him the Warrior WrestleMania 8 spot, where I think Joe and Triple H will start beating up on Rollins, who isn't ready for a match.
And then he comes out.
Yeah, I think that's what I was. That was my original point. But yet the face paint, you remind me of Jim. Man. You do custom wrestling.
This is where it gets interesting. So what do you do with Samoa Joe?
He'll just be on the side of the ring. I don't think he's fighting anybody.
Like they're hyping him up. They've been hyping him up for at least 3 weeks now as a main eventer, main dude.
Yeah, he's been working the last match on Raw every week. So
they gotta do some of them.
He's gonna be Triple H's enforcer.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Man.
It's too bad. But I see that happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to fantasy book him in some position where he's doing something at Mania, where he's not just fucking ringside.
Maybe Triple H pulls, you have to beat Joe to face Triple H.
Yeah, they, something like that. Yeah. Just like they did for Brian.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, I just hate for Joe to not, you know, because they brought him on, thank God, but I don't know.
They got him on, and he's over, and it's working.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's going to be working Sami Zayn.
And again, that's a great way to push Rollins as a face. You know?
Yeah.
He has to get through Joe to get to Triple H.
That's what's up.
They love repeating storylines.
They always do.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
I was going to say there's a rumor of a new stable with Triple H, Joe, Kevin Owens, and a few others.
Done?
It's just a rumor.
No, like
the new Four Horsemen, New Legacy.
You know, Dunn from UK.
Oh yeah, Pete Dunn. Yeah.
Thank you, Pete Dunn.
Yeah, like there's been talk of that like happening. So I'm kind of intrigued if they start aligning Joe and Owens. They could be a good tag team at least.
Joe-ins? We'll just call him Joe-ins.
Oh, that's the worst. But
there's like no stables anymore. I want a good stable.
I think they're going after like a power stable type of deal.
That would be awesome.
At least get us till. You know, post-Mania. We know post-Mania is fucking crickets.
I mean, we thought we were getting Bullet Club when all those guys came in. We didn't get that. We need a great stable.
I feel like Anderson and Gallows are SmackDown bound after WrestleMania when they start, like, thinking about swapping shit. Like, swapping rosters. Send them over
to SmackDown.
I think Ambrose comes back to Raw.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I think they're going to go more in, like, a...
See, Joe should have been on SmackDown.
That'll probably happen.
SmackDown needed Joe. But Raw stacked already for main eventers, I feel. But what else did I forget for wrestling headlines this past couple of weeks? You can think about it if you need to.
Well, I that was a stable thing. But yeah, I think you just about covered. Oh, TNA, their contracts are trying to dig into indie guy, like what people make on the indies. So I think that's why a lot of people aren't re-signing with them. And they're having sort of like a roster sort of like piece out right now.
Like, aren't they letting a TNA dude's wrestle independence, because like Elbatron's booked everywhere. Like,
yeah,
he's booked New Northeast Wrestling,
and I think his deal's special. But like, I think like the other talent, they're just kind of like, eh, we want a slice of your.
They want exclusive
your indie profits,
or they want profits.
Yeah,
comes down to money. They always say like, we want you exclusively, but. No,
it well, that used to be the deal. They definitely didn't want people, because people were getting hurt in the indies, like in the X Division and stuff.
Yep.
So that's why they started cracking down on that.
Kev, did I forget anything? It's cool if I didn't forget anything.
Can we talk about how terrible Mick Foley looks and how he needs to get off TV?
He is.
He looks awful.
Like, what, the
haircut? Dress is terrible. The haircut's terrible.
So what's changed?
No, it's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah, he looks very awkward with the suit, like the half-assed suits. Yeah.
After WrestleMania, they really need to replace him.
That's what's going to happen. That's why they're building.
Yeah, I heard Angle.
Angle's going to replace him, but like Stephanie and him, that's why there's tension.
They're building up something there between him and Steph. I don't know where they're going with it.
I think they're just going to make her fire Foley, and he'll get surgery and start training his daughter, and she'll eventually debut. And
it'll be Foley and Hunter. At the next pay-per-view. I don't know.
No.
I have no idea. That's what I had for headlines, at least for Impact and WWE. I'm sure there's Ring of Honor and Japan stuff, but I got nothing.
I was going to say, did we ever talk about Kaz joining the Bullet Club?
Past alumni Kaz. No, we didn't talk about Kaz.
So. Yeah, he turned on Christopher Daniels and joined Bullet Club. Really? Yeah.
Are we getting a Wolfpack vibe with
Club? They've already been adding way too many people.
I kind of feel like the Bullet Club right now is definitely not like getting the attention that the previous incarnations did. Like, it's still mostly the same guys, but I kind of feel like they swapped out too many characters. It's kind of like you're looking at like Power Rangers Turbo, if you ever followed Power Rangers. It's like, it's still nice the day. Same thing, but it's
Cody Rhodes.
It's all different Cody people. Rhodes. Yeah, it's a different cast, so it's kind of like...
So Wolfpack on Thunder kind of vibe I'm getting.
Like, I would say it's more like Black and White at this point, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like
it's Black and White on Thunder, sort of Horace Hogan vibe.
Yeah, Horace and Brian Adams are kind of chalking away at Virgil, who's the leader of the NWO Black and White. Jesus Christ. Like, they get Hangman Page, and, like, he's good, but
Hangman's
who the
fuck... good.
Yeah, but who, like, who is he? He's just Hangman Page. All right, cool. Like, you're in Bullet Club, I guess. He's, like, the Norton. Like, no one knows. I don't know. I just feel like the Bullet Club isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, it's not. It's totally not.
So, again, I'll say it again. Our next episode is going to be our annual WrestleMania preview. So if we're not covering all of the matches on Mania, it's because we have a special coming up. Let's fucking, I think we're doing okay with time. Why don't we wrap it up with some plugs? Chris, you've been a busy boy.
I'm always busy.
Nitro Party of sorts, or KES?
Yeah, Nitro Party is doing two more albums.
Jesus Christ, what do you like?
Def
Leppard in the 90s?
The plan is to have the most I can't even say the word right now. Prolific first 2 years of being a band ever, four full length albums
within a year and a half.
Yeah, but like if you look at calendar year, we're definitely aiming for like three albums within one calendar year, like May to May.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, so that's kind of the goal.
Good.
So I already have like 7 of 11 or 12 songs recorded.
Been busy, boy. I've seen a couple of your demos on.
Yeah, I'm sharing them with people just to like put it out there, just being like, check this out. Doesn't sound like shit.
We enjoy those things.
It's actually sounds definitely decent now.
SoundCloud.com/NitroParty or SoundCloud.com/Nitro-Party.
Yeah.
Butchered that shit.
I think, I don't know. They might have.
Google it.
Yeah.
Just Google Nitro Party SoundCloud.
It's on there. But KS is kind of back on the back burner.
Well, you always flip-flop your little...
Yeah, when Nitro Party dies down, KS has like a huge explosion.
You know, when Nitro's hot, KS is not.
Yeah.
And when KS is hot, Nitro's not.
Yeah, so it's kind of like AVGN and Board James type of exactly. That kind of deal.
Exactly. I got to pass it to you, Kev. I know you don't have your phone in front of you, but shows or anything you want to plug?
Everyone can look up Metal Thursday on Facebook.
Metal Thursday.
Codex Skyrim Zine on Facebook. Ralph's Rock Diner, where all the shows happen. WrestleMania, like I said, be projected upstairs, big screen, at Ralph's.
If you're in the Worcester area, just go watch WrestleMania at Ralph's Diner.
It has nothing to do with me, but I'll still push it. Beyond Wrestling is at Electric Haze this month. I think it's like 2 weeks from Sunday, something like that. You can look that up, too. Best wrestling in New England, Beyond.
Beyond's killing it, man.
Yeah. Again, I'm not making money off this. I have nothing to do with it. Best wrestling in New England.
They give you a payday on the side, didn't they?
Yeah, brother.
I do the same thing with 20 bucks. Chaotic, so it's nothing new to the audience. Too.
But yeah, Beyond's awesome.
And if you can plug a product that's not paying you, that's a sign.
I'm just plugging it because it's good.
Right on. I'll plug our own shit, Drive by Bukkake. We're finally mixing bass. How about fucking that? We got our bass tracks done for our goddamn upcoming album.
Good job, Tim.
It's been about a year.
The last time I was on this show was 2014, and you were talking about the album then.
Thank you. Drive by, it was used to be me and John, and we used to shit all the albums within fucking 6 months. It's just me and John, and we get it out the door, but we've added new members, and there's new circumstances, so yeah. Finally, I'm mixing. I'm actually mixing our next and upcoming and final release, and it's a greatest hits final that we're putting out, and I told Kev that in fucking 2014, probably, when we came here, but it took us forever to get this thing, and we finally have the file, so mixing, mastering, and convincing a label to pay us money. So,
shout out to Jonah.
Aubrey will get back here soon.
Someday he'll come back.
Next episode. Spoiler alert, guys.
You ruined it.
What are you going to do? Fuck
off. The big Aubrey reveal. Yeah, yeah. I hiccuped when I said that.
You know, if you stick around this long in the episode, you've deserved that spoiler. So, let me get a couple of ads out the way. Neckbreaker, we're produced by Gauntlet Creative. That's my company. We start your own show, gauntletcreative.com, if you want to start a podcast or if you need a website. Neckbreaker.net/shop. Sweet merch, t-shirts, all that bullshit helps us pay the bills and break even. Join our discussions and our dumb arguments. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at NB Podcast. Shout out to the Facebook admin crew. And if you're broke,
shout out to the Direct Input Podcast kid.
Oh, that fucking guy. Staples guy. Fucking.
How's it going,
fucking
man?
Fucking Staples.
Let's do it. I used to love fucking, what was that guy's name? Fucking,
you know.
Dude, Papa Shango, yeah.
You just nailed Josh Staples. Direct Input Podcast is produced by Gauntlet Creative, which also produces this bullshit.
Josh has gotten the biggest pops, I think, of like anyone on this podcast ever.
Oh, no argument.
Like when he talks about wrestling, it's just the greatest thing.
If there was a dictionary for accents, it would be his in New England.
He has no idea what he's talking about, but he just like shoots on like old wrestling. It's the greatest.
Shit. Again, we know you're broke. If you're broke, tell your friends about our show at least. Word of mouth is free. Free is good. Kev, thank you for stepping in for our buddy Fitz.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Saris, we'll see you in a couple weeks here.
Yep, I'll be back.
Better than ever.
Guys, cheers and fucking beers. Fade out.